Welcome, inmates, to Heroes Asylum. This is a bonus episode. We were able to sit down with one of our close friends, Steve-O, who's a big Star Wars fan, and we were able to actually do a quick review, breakdown of our thoughts about the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker trailer. And it's a 30-minute little episode, so I hope you guys enjoy it. And hopefully we'll hear more from Steve-O in the future. So here it is. Welcome, everybody, to the palatial Sinfrocco Estates. We are actually going to be doing the watch-along for the trailer. I do know it's been a few days since it's been out, so I know we're a little late to the game, but we really wanted to have Steve-O in with us.
And we needed to digest some of this because there's a lot of people out there with their own opinions and whatever. Lots. Mm-hmm. But we needed a minute to digest this because we know that sometimes our knee-jerk reactions aren't exactly our true reactions. It's just a moment of, okay, I need a minute for this.
Yeah, I know I watched it at least a good six times the first day, and then, of course, you know, progressively less the following days. So I have, it's myself, Mike is here, Kane is here.
How you doing, everybody? Good to be back at the Sinfrocco Estate.
And then, of course, the mighty Steve-O.
What's up?
Is back with us again. This will actually be Steve-O's first time on the podcast. He is part of the Star Wars series that we're doing on the other channel, our other channel, which is on the Midnight Movie Review. So he was actually on that one for a full episode, and we'll be there for some more. So, but this will actually be his official, like, first trailer and first, you know, joining in. So,
I'm gonna break his cherry.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, it's really great. I love this. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw part of it. You guys couldn't have seen the beginning of this, like the setup. But it's like really just great. I mean, I'm gonna put some pictures up. I'll give you guys. Well, you guys got the pictures. And but just the actual setup of this is so exciting to be here. It's a great experience just to be like, wow, part of it. But here, being here too, and just enjoying that you guys enjoy the same kind of fanfare that I do, knowing you guys saw my Star Wars room, whatever, and to be able to share that with somebody that really appreciates it. Man, just it's awesome.
I did enjoy the Star Wars room. I just wish I didn't need to see the Obi-Wan underwear.
The
drop of trowel just wasn't.
They are breezy in the back.
Just took a little bit off the top there.
Oh, you had it right. Little tongue off the top. I got you.
Just a little bit.
All right, guys. So we're gonna go ahead and jump in. We're gonna kind of break it down, scene by scene. If anybody is aware, there are a few varying opinions that, for the new series. So I think this will be fun. So here we go. Let's go ahead and start it in 3, 2, 1. Play maybe.
Andy Dana. Technical difficulties.
There we go.
There we go.
So guys, we are watching it on YouTube. So definitely find the first one on YouTube and you guys can watch along with that. And see what we have. And we're just waiting.
It looks like Luke's training helmet in The New Hope.
I'm right. It looks like she's on Endor.
There's Finn.
Sorry about the sketches. Here.
Good old Lando Calrissian.
All right. Okay. So far it jumped right in. Of course, you know, classic Lucas, you know, fanfare. And it did, like somebody said, Endor. I thought I saw Endor and the Luke's training helmet. When I first saw that, I thought that was, since I was thinking of Endor, I looked like the speeder bike helmet.
Right. So it was like Endor, and then and Return of the Jedi, you got Luke and Leia, and that's, you know, that looks like a better version of Endor, by the way.
Yeah, it's much cleaner.
Like, well,
they clean up stuff.
It is 20, 30 years later, CGI and location finding's a little better since then.
Well, then they also had to clear out, you know, all the debris and the fallout from the Death Star that blew up above it.
Right. Yeah,
but yeah, no,
independent contractors took care of that, by the way. Right.
It was a sort of a good throwback, I think, you know, to like what Kane said. I definitely saw once I rewatched it, I saw it was more of a training helmet. And we saw the prior trailer, that mini trailer they showed, and they showed her training out in some desert, or not desert, but forest place. So this might be like the second part of that, maybe. And if you look, when you guys rewatch it, but it looks like one of the training balls, the Jedi training balls, is following her.
All right. Okay.
So it looked like she was running away from it. So I don't know if maybe one got out of went haywire. Maybe somebody was screwing around with one.
Could be that. I mean, or maybe it was programmed that way. I mean, because in the first one you saw it in New Hope, that's how Luke was training with Obi-Wan on the Falcon, you know. Just
right, but she's beyond Luke day one at this point. I mean, she's a Jedi.
Well, yeah, because
as per eight, she's almost a master Jedi.
Yeah, because she's supposed
to be a lone Jedi by
a year and a half or something now, I think, into her training or something. Yeah, I forget the time frame.
That simple notion that she's a year and a half in.
And she was a lot younger than... What's her age in these movies? Does anybody know? Is she younger than Luke?
Luke was 18.
Yeah, Luke was
18.
So
she's what, like in her early 20s maybe?
Maybe.
I'm thinking, I've never seen an age for her.
Because they've never really mentioned her age, because Luke's age was supposed to, in The New Hope, was 18, 19, as Steve-O was saying, but they never really mentioned what kind of age. I guess we're just guessing she's in her mid-20s.
I thought I saw a meme somewhere on Facebook, I think, with all the ages of everybody, and that was the first time I'd ever seen Chewbacca at like 190 or 200 years old. I'd never even paid attention. Yeah.
Well, I think that might have been Legends material.
I think Rey was in there. Don't start the Legends pathway with me. Don't you start that with me.
Legends dark way we walk.
And also, they address how old he was in Solo. So, no Legends for you.
Okay. Well, that's right. Yeah, they did. They probably got that from Legends.
And be with me and Steve on our separate podcast, the Legends podcast, which will be coming very soon.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and pick it up again. And of course, it looked like I like the transition that she went from. It looked like she was training
that
at one place, and then it jumped into I don't know if it was the inside of what we're going to see coming up, or if it was like a – I don't know if it was a jump in time, or if this is just, you know, I know JJ is known for doing his little – cute little tricks during the trailer to make you think something happened that didn't. So
that's a JJ thing. Yeah.
It's always been nice.
He does have a mess to clean up.
Well, he started it.
Well, really it depends who you talk to.
he did a great job in 7. He has a mess to clean up for me.
Well, let's see what more we got going on here.
That looks like the Corvillian Corvette, by the way, from New Hope. Genosis?
All right, so what we have seen so far now, I mean, this, it just jumped straight into action, right? The Corvette.
The Corvillian Corvette from the New Hope.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Tantive or not. It may be, it may not be.
It looks like a similar ship, like the design of it looks like.
I'm pretty sure it's like a Corellian, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's going to be the Tantive that that Leia was on.
No, I think that ship has long been
I mean, if not, man, that's a classic. That's a... That ship can go.
Yavin
4? No, Yavin was a planet. No, it was a Tantive. Tantive 4.
Yeah, the one her Leia's ship.
Yeah, and it looks, I mean, it was the same ship. It looked like the same style, and there are different, it's the same makes. It's just like a Ford or a Chevy. They make the same kind, but we don't know. We don't get a name. That's just fine. But I think they're also trying to use a lot of like instant recall for us. We've all seen those ships, so we don't need to see a new one.
My understanding is, I mean, if you're going to do if you're going to do a movie called The Rise of Skywalker, to me, you're going to wind up having to jump around in the time frame and recreate some stuff, or like at least reintroduce things. Because if you have a movie called The Rise of Skywalker, I'm expecting, and I don't like to say expecting, but I'm thinking that there should be something, some kind of a callback to 1, 2, 3, 4, some earlier stuff.
Yeah.
Because you've got Anakin, you've got Luke, you've got Shmi, for crying out loud. You know, you've got all different kinds of Skywalkers. There should be some kind of explanation or callback to it at least.
Yeah.
So,
well, there is so far a lot of callbacks. I mean, we did see what looked like, somebody said it looked like Genosis. They actually, I'm reading the kind of the prequel comic books to it right now, and they actually go to Mon Calamari, where Admiral Akbar is from, in that, and then they bring
Admiral Akbar is from Calamari.
Yeah, he's Mon. His species is Mon Calamari.
Rest in peace, Admiral.
I want that
space. Yeah,
that's so man.
Luke from Calamari.
We're not saying Lucas.
Hey, how you doing?
We're not saying Lucas is great on the names, but that is what he is from, where he's from, and what his name was. And I do know in the comic book, his son gets involved. His son comes in. So, and we do see the same species later on. So I don't know if that is Genosis. If it is, it might even be, because
If I don't think it's Geonosis. I mean, yeah. It's an easy thing to say because Geonosis was the particularly water planet that we saw in Attack of the Clones.
I wonder if George is going to, or not George, but JJ is going to change the whole concept of one ecosystem on per planet, because I got a feeling that some of the water things that we're seeing where the wreckages of the Death Star 2, I think that might be Endor. I don't know if it's if he's going to continue with that, or it might be another moon of Endor.
Be the water moon of Endor, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it was the forest moon of Endor, this moon of Endor.
Yeah, might have,
how many moons does Endor have? That's what I want to know. They got the forest moon, they got the water moon. They have to have like a water moon. Like, probably. Like a lava room.
To me, it looks like she's going to be jumping through time.
I hope not.
I think that's what it looks like, because there was when Finn was on there, that could have been Tatooine.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe they got a follower through time. Maybe
there was a talk
in here. You know, I mean, maybe
there was, you know, talk of one of the theories was what was it, the Wills? Hey,
that'd be great.
If you guys checked out like, any of the Rebels series where they showed the Wills, where it was the portal where they jump between worlds, yeah, and the time, and I was like, no, let's not do that.
I don't want them to include
time. If I see that, guys, I will tell you right now,
I'm leaving the theater.
You will see me out in the parking lot waiting for you guys.
I hope there's no time travel. I really hope not.
I mean, that's really the only way I can
fix it. Then we see what looked like classic TIE fighters going to what looks like a big iceberg in the middle of a city, like on this iceberg. And then the next thing we see is literally the sketch for sketch, the Ralph McQuarrie sketch of the Emperor's Throne. Yeah. That picture we're looking at right now was from Ralph McQuarrie. Ralph, I don't know if you know Steve, but he was the guy that did all the drawings and all the storyboard art for George. So a lot of his stuff is just classics, you know, classic. And that is literally sketch for sketch what Ralph did, and for an evil. I don't think he was drawing it for the Emperor at the time. And supposedly, I don't know if you can see it on this, but supposedly the new logo for the Sith Order is supposed to be somewhere on this thing. It's been said, and it's like, I'm sure it's one of those guys that's watched it 20 times the first
day. Probably frame for frame, and it's like just zoomed in and out.
I'm going to take away from this for a little bit. Sorry. Yeah. I keep rattling around my head.
Yeah.
On the previous scene of this, or just before this, how do you guys feel like, almost to me, it is a frame-by-frame stolen scene from Revenge of the Sith with Rey and Kylo Ren, only it's a water scene and not lava?
Oh, there's tons of
callbacks.
I'm saying that's totally, to me, I'm like, I don't know if I'm okay with that. I think, you're just pulling from what's already there. And calling it almost plagiarism.
Yeah. Well, they're plagiarizing themselves, really.
Pretty much.
I see now. Because even if you look at, just look at Poe. Poe is Han Solo. I mean, if you really look at him, he's other than the fact that he's in the Order already, but he's a fly by the seat of his pants, like, pilot who gets forced into a command situation because of the way things are happening. And of course, the death of most of the command in The Last Jedi.
That was one of the worst scenes ever in that movie. I mean, I'm a big Last Jedi supporter, but that scene where they basically killed Akbar, I saw that dirty look. Nothing. Oh, by the way, Admiral Akbar died. Oh, great. He just got blown up.
Yep.
What a way to go. I mean, it's a trap it really was a trap.
So now you're seeing how I feel about the whole, imagine that multiplied by a whole movie. And that's how I feel about Episode 8. Lack of character, but lack of the character circle whatsoever. It just either drops off, has no beginning. There's a lot of unneeded, unnecessary, unnecessary, but just the difference in there's no reason for the character. Or there's no explanation of the character, but they're monumental in what happened. But just some random guy walked in and started, boom, and now he's important, and then he's gone. Or he's not. You make him out to be important, and he does nothing, and he's just still there lingering. I don't know. I think
some of those characters are there because we got the same thing during the first series and in the prequels. We got introduced to somebody, but we didn't know who they were on the first movie.
We didn't know what the Emperor was.
We had to wait until the end.
Okay, so somebody's going to have to do some real explanation to me about Maz Kanata, about what her role is, because because you can't keep calling back to somebody like that for no reason.
Well, they probably will. Again, we have a whole movie.
I think she's going to have a bigger arc in this movie.
Yeah, we have to wait.
Because in Seven, she had that speech with Rey where she was talking about, you know, what the lightsaber came from. And she's like, where did you get it from? And she's like, that's another story. And like, let's dive into that. And I think JJ is gonna recall that.
I
for this
I hope we get the explanation for the red arm in the movie and not in a comic book.
No. If you actually look, R2 always had different colored parts. If you look at him during New Hope,
and he could fly too.
His leg, not R2. Well, I'm so sorry. I meant C-3PO. C-3PO had different color arm. He had a silver. But, so he could break shit and gets a new arm. It just happened to be red.
But they made mention of it in the movie of that's a different.
I don't think so. I think that was just C-3PO just being C-3PO. I didn't read too much into. Hey, I've got a red arm now.
You got Maz Kanata. You got that. Just to me, like they either they're leaving too many holes in it, and they're detracting from it being a great movie because they're not explaining what they're saying. They're explaining. I mean, in all epic movies, you always have the explanation of it. At least the idea of the explanation of it. Okay, Back to the Future, and Matrix, they're not leaving anything to question about how things are the way they are.
No, but we found out after three movies.
We did find out.
Right. We still have a third movie.
We're in nine darn movies right now.
They're broken up into separate sections. We're looking at this section.
11, I'm sorry.
So,
let me put that together. 11.
I don't like to count that one.
All right, so let's go ahead. So we left off at the Emperor's... What we assume, we don't know, what we assume is the Emperor's throne.
Well, I don't think it's
he's talking about a lamp. I know that.
Oh, I got to tell you, man, probably one of the epic scenes. Right there.
There's a ghost right there.
Okay, so we go to see, which I think probably is one of the coolest scenes. Stop that. What I think is one of the coolest scenes is... Why aren't you pausing? Sorry. What I think, like, cinematically is one of the coolest scenes was that Star Destroyer coming out of ice.
Of the ice. I thought that was just cool.
Amazing. And then, of course, we, you know, see the gang together and... see C-3PO talking, and I heard the eye roll from over here.
Yeah, a little weepy.
It is a heartstring moment, I think, but I also think in that scene, a lot is explained, because you made a comment about the red eyes.
No.
I think this is where he gets the red eyes, because they're back there messing with his brain.
He's going to go into war mode.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. He's going into war mode.
And I know you hate to hear me say, but there is something that happens outside of the cinematic world. The character of, what's her name? The girl that played in Felicity. Crap. She's
Carrie
playing.
Jones, Carrie Russell?
Carrie Russell. Okay. She's in here, and she's playing a mercenary, and she's in there actually in that scene where they have C-3PO. And one of the outside of the cinematic thing, she was actually holding a device that looks like it could fit in there. So maybe it's a memory chip or something. And when that's why C-3PO is saying, I'm like taking a last look at my friends because I'm going away.
Yeah, well, I think
he
knows he's being white.
Yeah, or he's going to forget what's happening now because he's going to have that new thing. And I think that's where the red eyes come from, because one of the other ones was that little minutive little thing messing with the back of his head. He's supposed to be some like wizard on, like, you know, he knows computers and androids.
Well, sick being in languages.
Yeah, well, no, the little guy. The little guy was back there working on his head. The new porg. he's a porg with a purpose, other than being tasting like chicken.
Porg.
Other than tasting like chicken, he does stuff, all right?
Oh.
And so far, I have to say, that's probably the closest thing I have seen to the cute little creatures. We don't have Ewoks in this one, it looks like. I mean, I would love to see, you know, Emperor,
Chief Wicket, man.
Chief Wicket, yeah, I'd love to see Chief Wicket come back around, but, you know, right now. Especially if that's on Endor. I mean, you got to have a throwback. Nice. Maybe they have to go to Endor to prepare for the battle to go to the water planet, and we see.
That'd be cool when Lando's
Wicket.
Like, hey, man, I have an old friend who lives here, and you see freaking Chief Wicket come out with a beard and a long headdress, and like, wah, wah, wah. Or just Steve-O was talking Ewok a couple seconds ago, but nobody heard it.
That was.
Yep. So, and then we jump over.
Ewok is one of my 20 languages I don't speak.
And then we jump over to them back on this desert planet, which I assume is from the first little trailer where we saw Rey do her awesome flip around thing. So, and I don't know what the yellow dust is. So, I'm sure we'll find out on that.
Well, it's kind of like
it's a pollen allergy waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Sorry, so much happened right there. We had Salt Lando. We saw a Y-Wing going against what looked to be a, Star Destroyer. Now, I do know there has been rumors and some news that the gentleman I just drew a blank on his name, too. I had it. But the gentleman that played Biggs is going to be back on here. And now we're thinking maybe he's flying the Y-Wing because that looks like an old Y-Wing.
The scene right here.
And it looks like
where Luke flew through and says, "I'm your father."
No, this actually, if you actually look at this, that's the Emperor's chair from Return. This is where he threw down. This is where it all happened. So I would believe if we're still meant to believe that this is the second Death Star, this is where the death of of the Emperor and the turn of Vader. So,
Luke fully realizing that he's a Jedi.
Yep.
Or that no, that he's a master Jedi. Working in tandem.
Yeah, them working in tandem looked like it was some.
Well, the enemy of my enemy, my friend.
So yeah, we saw them working in tandem. In that background, it looked more like it was on a Rebel ship. It was all the white paneling. So I don't know what that's
a weird shot.
And what they did, I don't know what they cut at or swung at.
It looked like a Vader helmet, but I don't think it is. It looked like some kind of
Vader and statue. Then of course we see the planet, the water planet with
Well, the only true Skywalker left, other than Leia, and she's really not going to play the part. If it's truly a Rise of Skywalker, then Kylo Ren's got to be the Skywalker.
He's got to be the Skywalker. He's going to get the redemption, and I don't think he deserves it. I think that's a weak storyline to me. If they redeem Kylo,
I don't like that at all. It's just like a copy. That's like Steve-O was saying before. It's like a copy and paste of what we previously saw already. It's like, okay, I saw that already. Nothing new. I mean. Now, if Rey turns, that'd be even cooler.
Because we still have to look from the last trailer where she looked like her. We don't know if it was a clone.
Don't think JJ has the guts to do that.
No, I think they're playing a lot of things.
They just want to play it safe.
Especially after Last Jedi and the massive, massive,
divisiveness.
Yeah.
I guess we could say.
And then the scene before I hit pause
There's no divisiveness. There's those of us that are right, and there are those of you that think the movie was good. Guess what? You're wrong.
And then
lots of divisiveness.
Lots. And then we see what looks like Rey standing in a black room with, I swear, it looks like the Emperor. I mean, it looks like a cloak, and it's walking. It's almost like it's on walkers.
Yeah, like
it almost reminded me of if maybe he went the route of Darth Maul and had to is sitting on a mechanical walking chair. I hope that's not what I'm reading. Because that looks lame as hell, and I would be actually kind of upset if that is. I'm hoping maybe that's one of JJ's twists, that's not going to happen, or it's a dream.
I hope 90% of what we've seen in the trailer is all, just junk from the movie. Maybe throwing on a clip somewhere saying, we got to use this. We're not using this because it's not a main movie, but I just...
I'll give you 3% or that. The rest is.
I think a lot of the stuff.
Again, it's still the trailer. We don't know how it's all put together. Usually, it's put together from something at the end, something in the middle, and we just don't know the order. So we'll see. And once they actually talk, that'll be the storyline. That's when I get nervous. And of course, we end with Rey holding this lightsaber and. Luke saying, we will be with you always. Now, there is a lot of rumor coming around that some of the old cast of all the saga is returning in sort of force ghost way. We do know Luke or Mark Hamill's back.
Well, you got to have Porkins as a force ghost.
Well, Porkins better be there.
Porkins better be a force ghost.
Oh, that'd be worth it all together.
Come on. That's if everybody's coming back, you
got to support Porkins.
You got to bring Porkins back.
You also have Hayden Christensen. He has been spotted on set, so we don't know if that's going to be the return of a force ghost. We do know that the force ghosts are not allowed or are not able to intervene with things, so I don't know if maybe they just run.
I don't know.
They run distraction or something. Maybe they turn into a well, Yoda didn't do much.
Well, he did that lightning.
That was it, but he didn't involve himself in much.
Luke was saying he was going to blow it up.
Yeah, Luke was going to do it anyway, so. So, folks, that is the trailer. I know me personally, I'm looking forward to it. Kane?
I am looking forward to it as well. I'll be there the first night or the
second. Yeah, we will all be there Thursday, on the 19th. We will be there, and hopefully, if it's not too late, we might be able to squeeze in a quick review afterwards, and I can't wait for that one.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun one.
And, Steve, what did you think on that?
Okay, here's the deal. When I first watched this trailer, I say this is not the first time I've seen it. I did see, I sort of paid attention to it one time before. And I was kind of like put aback by it. I was like, I'm really not really excited. And now that we've talked about it, some of the things that you guys have brought out, different scenes and this and that, and different interpretations of what we're seeing, I gotta say, I'm not Return of the Jedi excited. I'm not Revenge of the Sith excited. But I'm about 4/5 there. I think you guys have kind of turned the tide on me to make me kind of almost like, all right, I'm getting excited about the movie now. Because I wasn't before. I was like, it's 9. It's going to be garbage. And like, no, you guys are kind of making a different, kind of swaying me a little bit. I'm not, I'm not going to go run out and go buy a Legends comic or anything like that. But
we're not asking for the impossible.
Baby steps.
I think
Bob needs baby steps.
I think 3.5 out of 4 excitement level out of me.
That's good.
I was at a 2, really. Yeah. 4.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's good.
But
I'm at the same thing right now. I'm about a 4. I honestly, because next thing after this, before the movie, we have Mandalorian start dropping, and I was stoked about Mandalorian when this trailer dropped. I'm sitting on the fence. Like beforehand, I was like, I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, but Mandalorian was more important. But after seeing this trailer, I was like, now I'm like 50-50. Well, right?
Okay, I'm about the saga, and everything else comes next. Okay. I was putting the saga on the back burner, and I was more excited about the outside movie, which is a little odd for me.
Yeah,
I'm not cool with that. But now I think I've kind of brought them both up to the same level. I'm excited for Mandalorian just because I think it's gonna be a cool movie. They can do a lot with it.
That's TV.
Screw that up.
That's TV series. So that's 2 seasons right now. They've already got planned.
But I'm saying that's hard to screw up.
Yeah. You got a chance to grow.
More time for storytelling.
He's got a lot of money and a lot of fanfare. J.J. Abrams has got his hands full too, probably.
Maybe.
But this is a big deal. It's a big job to do. You know, try to take it, and regardless of how I feel about 8, okay? Listen, it's fine in reality. I'm gonna break his chops a little bit, but in reality, it's not a horrible movie. It's not an episode 1, okay? So, I didn't... But I'm not thrilled with it, But I can like it, okay. There's parts of it I do like, Episode 9, I think he's got a job cut out for him or had it. So there's a lot of expectations, a lot of needed closure for a lot of fans,
Well, he's wrapping up 9 movies. That's right. The biggest and hardest task to do.
At least he's got to wrap. He's got to wrap up 3.
Well,
at the very least, he's got to wrap up 3, and he's got to tidy up everything from in this trilogy, which, if you're the first and the third director on a movie, and you let somebody else have carte blanche on it, which he did, all right, go ahead and do what you want to do. I'm going to clean it up no matter what you do.
Well, he wasn't. He was done. He wasn't supposed to do anything. He was supposed to do 1 and done. And then they turned. They were supposed to do three different directors, and then they just turned around and said, "No, you got to go back and do it."
Good.
I think he's going to do a kick-ass job.
Here's the deal.
I think he'll do fine.
He's going to make money no matter what.
No,
because you know what? It could be a turd in a basket getting laid in another turd in a basket, and us real hardcore fans are going to go see it anyway. And there's millions of us, okay? And at $20 times, call it $3 million, it's $60 million. That's in the first night. Done.
That's right, folks. That colorful analogy was brought to you by Steve-O, by the way. The turd and the turd wrapped in what was
Steve,
it?
Steve
that was Franco beautiful. Over, right? That one.
That's almost as good as a chalupa in a chalupa. In a chalupa.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. So that is our review. It was a little bit longer than I thought. You know, that 5-minute rule I said, that went out way out the window really quick. And so we're going to go ahead. And I hope you guys have a great weekend. Make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and you guys will be able to see and hear everything that's been coming out. So see you guys later.
See ya.
And get to the asylum.